This episode is brought to you by State Farm. If you're a small business owner, you know that it isn't just your business, it's your life. And whatever your business might be, you want someone who understands. That's why you might want to check out State Farm Small Business Insurance. Why? Because State Farm agents are small business owners too, living and working in your community. That means they know what it takes to help you personalize your policies for your small business needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Hi, everyone. This is Pivot from the Vox Media Podcast Network. I'm Kara Swisher, founder of Recode.
And I'm Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU. Today, Kara, I'm bringing you Jared Kushner-like hidden genius. So
get ready. You're in Florida today. Is that right? How's the weather?
That's
You're expecting a storm, right?
Yeah, it's fortunately we're on the East Coast, so it's not a big deal. But obviously, our good wishes go out to the folks in the Panhandle.
Absolutely, absolutely. It seems a little scary. It's a little scarier than we thought. This is part of, you know, it was interesting because there was a climate change report that President Trump completely ignored this week. But it seems like this is what it's been predicting: these kind of massive storms just happening one after the next.
And it's always the stuff you're not expecting, right?
Right.
I mean, the last thing got a ton of hype, nothing, and then this just kind of snuck up on us.
Well, it only takes one, Scott, in these storms. I don't mind if it gets hype and it is a letdown. But in any case, there's been a lot of storms across the tech and media landscape this week, too. I hate to make a horrible metaphor thing, but there's been a lot going on. It's been another bad week for tech, which is really kind of fascinating that you can't cut a break on anything, but it doesn't also deserve a break. The first one, obviously, is the Google data breach of Google Plus. It feels like every week these days there's a story about a data breach. Last week, Facebook was under fire and continues to be under fire. And this week, it's Google. So what do you think about this?
Google Plus, 500,000 people, their data hacked. And by the way, Kara, remember how awesome Google Plus used to be?
No, I do not.
Yeah, neither does anyone else.
Right, right.
That's my big joke.
Right. Okay.
So, like most scandal, it's not the crime, it's the cover-up. Because when you think about 500,000 people, that is literally amateur hour in the world of Facebook. Add a couple zeros, and you're talking about the Facebook hack. So it's not... You know, it's not the hack itself. The strange thing here is that 6 months ago, it happened 6 months ago. And this is probably why they didn't show up for the Senate hearings.
Oh, really?
Because
they didn't want to talk about it.
Yeah. Well, what if someone had said to them, are you aware of any hacks? Do
right.
they perjure themselves?
Right.
Or do they release that data in front of Congress, in front of national TV. So I don't, you know, and a decent question for you or anyone else in the media that talks to these guys is the next time they speak to anyone from Google to ask them, are there any hacks you know about that we don't?
Right, exactly. I think, you know, people have been sort of making a joke about Google Plus. Nobody used it. And by the way, nobody used it. They, you know, Google's been trying very hard to get into the social space for many years, a couple of years ago. And, you know, they were essentially creating a social network for antisocial people and by antisocial people. And they weren't successful. They tried Orkut at first, if you remember Orkut, which was a guy who worked for Google, and it was popular in Brazil for a millisecond, and it may still be. And then Google Plus, which was run by someone named Vic Gundotra, and again, it didn't work at all, and it couldn't keep up with Facebook. They sort of had Facebook envy. And then nobody used it because it was just a terrible social network. It had circles that I never understood, if you recall it. It was all these weird circles and different things like that because of Google, I guess, with the O's. But what was really fascinating about it is everyone's like, oh, it's not used that much. But, you know, 500,000 people still Google not protecting your data really is the point. And then not telling you about these breaches to me is, again, the same problem that there is not a federal law that requires immediate disclosure of these hacks, which I think was among the Internet Bill of Rights that I wrote about last week in The Times, that they have to immediately disclose these things. They have to be required by law to do so.
And it looks as if we're headed that way, right? Do you know, what's your sense of this regulation in California? What have you heard? I read somewhere that Representative Kahn actually showed you a draft of the legislation.
He did. He did. It's not legislation. It's an Internet Bill of Rights. And then you make and craft legislation out of it. And, you know, there's all, it's a whole grab bag of things from net neutrality to privacy to data protection to all kinds of things. And one of them is disclosure. One of the Bill of Rights, I think it was number 7 or 8, was the idea that you have to immediately disclose these hacks. And that could be legislation by itself. It's not going to be one big giant legislative mass. It's going to be a series of them. And I talked to Nancy Pelosi, who would be the Speaker of the House if the Democrats won. But of course, they may not have the Senate, so this may go nowhere. But she was talking about the fact that they were going to craft some sort of legislation. And until then, California and Europe are the places where this is happening. California has been super aggressive and has put in has passed a privacy bill, has passed a diversity on board bill, net neutrality. So this is going to be a really interesting time to see what states are going to probably put into place things to control these companies.
Do you worry, Kara, that inadvertently that this legislation or this type of regulation might in fact end up emboldening or empowering the companies it's meant to curb? That really it hurts the middle guy.
Yeah, it does.
Mid-sized company that doesn't have an SG&A budget of $6 or $8 billion to comply with this.
Yes, I do. That's one of the big things. That's one of the arguments of the big companies. Don't do it because we have lawyers. Like, I don't know if that's the good. You know, I think it's got to be crafted in such a way to protect smaller companies, and that's definitely the case. They don't have the ability, like a GD. You know, all the stuff in Europe, it's problematic for small companies. So it would hinder innovation. And the argument from these big companies is this is going to hit, you know, China doesn't have to deal with these things. Well, China's run by a president for life, so I guess it doesn't.
Like Facebook?
Yeah, like, exactly. Oh, my God. Scott, you were
waiting for that one.
Look,
we'll have she for 20 years because of biology. We're going to have the Zuck for 70 years.
You're right. That's a fair point. All right. In any case, they've got to do something about this, and there's got to be real payment for what's going on here. You know, it's going back to the Yahoo thing, the Equifax thing. It's just, you know, you put your data online at great risk, and these companies are making billions of dollars off you, and they're not protecting your privacy, and that's just pretty much the situation going on.
What was also interesting is you see big tech is now actually warming to the idea of federal regulation because of the transaction costs of dealing with a bunch of statewide regulations.
Yeah, and then they can water it down because, you know, people in Washington. But, you know, Mark Warner has issued some very strong statements. We'll see where it goes. And speaking of privacy, the Facebook portal this week. Another product that is going to sort of be like Google Plus to me. Joining the portal game, which is a word we don't use anymore. It used to be Yahoo was a portal, and Excite was a portal, and stuff like that. And they're retaking this name, this word up, portal, and now they're creating this device. So, and it has Amazon in it. What do you think of this? Are you buying one?
I thought this was fascinating because, you know, I want a camera in my house controlled by Facebook, said no one ever. if you've looked at the product feedback, I think the product development folks at Facebook did a great job. My gut here is that it's a great product. I don't know if you've seen some of the automatic framing it does.
Yeah.
The notion, and it's a genius notion, of not having a video conference with someone but feeling as if you're in the room with them.
Yeah.
Even little things like syncing music on both ends so you can enjoy music together. I think this is a great product, but here's the problem. It's from Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
And the most telling thing about this product is it has a plastic lens cap. There are 150 million iPhones sold every year. No one's demanded a plastic lens cap on that. There are 15 million cars sold each year, and most of them have a camera in the rear license plate.
Mm-hmm.
No one's demanded a plastic lens cap there, but Facebook comes out with something. And
it
basically
knows.
The product development stuff, people said, you know what? Nobody trusts you. You've got to make it really obvious that people can protect themselves. So,
well, Mark has one on his camera at work. I took a picture.
A piece
of tape. Yeah. And he has it there. He also has it over the speaker, too. So he's well aware of privacy issues, which is interesting. And I've talked to him about it before because I have one on my computer, too. I don't have one on my phone. I probably should. But it's a really interesting question because I think you're right. It's a beautiful product, but there's a lot of issues. I've seen reviews back and forth, and that it's sort of an old school where you stay in a kitchen and stay there while you're talking to people. That's not really a use case necessarily. So I think that'll matter more than anything else, if people really want to sit in their kitchen and talk to people or be present, a telepresence, which has been bandied about by Silicon. Cisco had a telepresence thing. Everyone's tried this idea of telepresence, mm-hmm. and eventually it's a great idea where it'll seem like your parents are there or your cousin, whoever you want to talk to, are right there when you're talking to them. And that'll be interesting someday, and this is a step towards it. But I just don't see, it's sort of like the Facebook phone. If you recall the Facebook phone, yep. again, nobody wanted it ever. Why do you have to have a Facebook phone versus just a phone that has Facebook on it? So I think it's an interesting thing, but it's not, I can't imagine it's going to take off in any way whatsoever. Kind of like the HP iPod. Do you remember that?
I did not know there was, knew that there was a Zune. I remember the Zune.
The Zune was different. That was a really awful device by Microsoft trying to copy the iPod, but there was an HP version, a branded version of the iPod, and Carly Fiorina, who was the CEO at the time, you know, touted it as innovation at HP. And I was like, you just colored an iPod red with HP on it. It was just odd. So, you know, I don't know. I don't think this is a product anybody's waiting for, and especially right now where we don't feel like Facebook has our privacy back in any way, that we want anything, any device from theirs in the house. I don't want the Amazon one in the house. I don't want the Google one in the house at this point.
Oh, the Amazon one is awesome.
It is awesome. I have it. I just turn it off all the time. It is.
There are a couple really interesting things that'll happen here or won't happen. One is, if this thing gets any traction, then all the barking at the moon that we do, all the headline news about our concerns are overblown. Mm. There's huge
consumer
dissonance.
It's not going to get traction. I'm going to go out there with that. It's not going to get traction.
Fair enough. But if it does, it means all of this privacy concern that we're upset about hasn't gained traction.
I think you're wrong.
Community.
I think people are very aware of it. I regular people talk to me about it every day. Like they understand.
You speak to regular people?
I talk to regular people all the time. They
and the other thing is what I was really hoping would happen today is I was hoping Amazon would take a page out of Facebook in terms of what they've done to Snap and announce the exact same features in the next Amazon show.
Oh, that would be funny.
Right? Just say, okay, we're learning from you, Facebook.
But Amazon, it's Echo that's in there. It's Amazon Alexa that's in there. So you're not buying at the portal, right? Correct?
Oh, no, I hate Facebook.
That's a hard no then.
You know, other than ruining America, I'm on board with the company.
Yeah, okay.
I hope this is a big thud.
Yeah, okay, good. Okay, good. Good wishes towards you, Mark Zuckerberg. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll be talking wins of this week. So stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You've heard it before. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. But it's more than just a tagline, because State Farm agents are small business owners themselves who live and work in your community. And if you're in the market for small business insurance, who better to work with than an agent who understands what it takes? State Farm agents can help you create a personalized insurance plan that fits your small business needs and budget. Talk to your local State Farm agent today about small business insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
And we're back. Okay, wins of the week. There's so many to think about. I am going to go first. I am going to go first on this one, on wins of the week. It's Taylor Swift. I love Taylor Swift. I'm not going to pretend I don't like Taylor Swift. I'm not going to say, oh, she's annoying, but I love Taylor Swift. Everything about her cracks me up. And this week, She went Instagrammed that millennials should vote, and she was saying she backed the Democratic candidate in Tennessee, where she's from. And all of a sudden, everyone signed up to vote, which I thought was fantastic. And so I'm really interested in this sort of Kanye-Taylor fight again, because Kanye's on the Trump side and Taylor now is on the other. So it's the fight. And I really like that she did this. I like that she used her power for good in this case.
Have you been to a Taylor Swift concert?
No. Yes, I have. That's not true. I have seen her sing when I was in an iHeartRadio thing, and she was absolutely fantastic. She's a great performer.
In a word, awesome. And not only that, it's a concert you can take your kids to.
Well, in any case, my favorite part of the whole concert was when she finished her song, and then she took this long bow, and then they weren't clapping enough, and she put her hands up. She's like, "More clapping, please." And it was, everyone did. They went crazy, and I loved her for that. Yeah. I thought, oh man, I love this woman. She's great. So it was interesting to use the power of digital to do this. And not many people can do this, but she certainly obviously showed that she could.
Yeah, and supposedly voter registration is up, so it's having an impact.
We'll see where it goes. But it's interesting that she's done it. A lot of these celebrities are stepping out politically much more. So everybody is in that regard. What is your win of the week?
Oh, hands down, biggest win of the week. Hands down, and probably of the month.
Okay.
Nikki Haley.
Nikki Haley. Why? Why? Tell me.
Oh, my gosh. She's getting out of Dodge with her reputation intact.
Uh-huh.
I mean, working in the Trump administration means, A, you're likely going to jail.
Uh-huh.
Or, B, your reputation is going to be severely tarnished. She comes out. She exits the administration with probably the best brand in politics.
I've been able to lead the state that raised me and to serve a country I love so very much has really been a blessing, and I want to thank you for that. But I'm most excited. Look at the 2 years. Look at what has happened in 2 years with the United States on foreign policy. Now the United States is respected. Countries may not like what we do, but they respect what we do.
In my opinion, if you were to bet on anybody who will likely be president at some point, it's probably her.
Why is that? That's a prediction along with your win of the week. Why so? Why so?
I think she's the perfect blend of kind of gangster strong, communicates leadership strength, and I think that brand mixed with the Republican ideology and cocktail is a pretty good mix. I think she's a player and a comer.
Oh, really? Interesting. Yeah. I heard different things back and forth all week whether she was really good at politics. You know, she did sort of effusively compliment him on the way out, but then someone else who's here in Washington told me what she's going to do then is take pot shots from the sidelines. So now she has permission to take sort of on certain issues like around women and other issues that would be strong for her.
I think it gives her permission to run in 2020 if things really come off the rails.
Oh, really? Do you think they will? Are you still on that game?
I don't think so.
Really?
I don't know.
These people, they seem to survive.
So speaking of being a total kiss-ass, you know what the best thing I read this week was?
What?
The write-up of your interview with Anand, and I'm going to massacre his name, the author.
Yes, Anand, yes. Yes, about elites.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I thought that was fantastic.
Thank you.
Just the notion... This guy is my new hero.
Yeah.
The notion that we basically at TED and Davos and the Aspen Institute invite all these arsonists, all these people who created these problems because they're the ones that can fix them.
Yep. Yep.
And that these individuals, mostly tech billionaires, need to be more reflective about not only, you know, enjoying questions about what can they do moving forward, but how did we get here and what was their role in that?
Right, right.
He
compared it to a crime scene, which I thought was really fantastic. They want to pretend the crime didn't take place. And
Show up and say, well, what's happened here is, let's put this behind us and let's move on. Let's talk about making sure this doesn't happen again.
How do you, as a winner, not insist on win-wins? How do you actually get out of the way of the public trying to solve its problems in ways that may hurt you? These people love to ask what they can do. They never ask what they have done. Right?
That's a really good way to put it.
How am I involved in this problem? How have my work practices been involved in this? How am I the product of a system of taxation and labor and all these other things that allowed me to make this fortune?
One of the things that when I'm thinking about is that they're also victim-y. You know, I've recently been pretty tough on them. And they're like, you're so mean. And I'm like, you're like a bunch of sore winners. Like, sort of, it reminds me of the Trump, you know, you win, like the Trump people won Kavanaugh and then they had to be mean It was like sore winners once again. And I think tech people are the same way, is they won on every account. And then when you call them to task for a couple of things, as Anand did, they get all tetchy. Well, we'll take our money and go. Or like, don't you appreciate us? Yeah. You know, which
we're
is like, no, we really don't appreciate you. But I agree. It's a great book. It's about the elites, and it's well worth listening to the podcast, but it's also well worth buying the book. And we'll see where we go from there if they listen to what he has to say.
That'll happen.
Yeah, they might.
I'm sure it's a moment of reflection.
Yeah, they get testy. I am on the receiving end of testy phone calls from tech people all week long for some reason. You know, like, oh, you.
What's been the worst
grumpy
one? What's been the take angry times famous? Who wins?
They're just so whiny. I just don't, you know, you're so mean. You're like, don't be so hard on us. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just not going to stop yet. Just the message they should have gotten is we have to fix something. And the message they've gotten is poor little me. And I'm not clear why that's the case. It's the message, you know, what Anand was talking about is let's be reflective of our impact and figure out ways that maybe you should listen to people more. And instead it's, well, we're trying to help, like that kind of thing. And they're just all like, I just can't, I'm so now over it. I just can't even, I just hang up. I'm just hang up. That's what I do. I just hang up now.
You're done.
I'm done.
You really hang
it's
up
like
on
I have 50. Like I'm calling around a lot because of this a murder of the Saudi journalist by the Saudis. It looks like, from according to some of the investigations, some of the reporting, this Washington Post columnist, and there's a lot of money from Saudi Arabia from Saudi Arabia in Silicon Valley. It's like a wash in Saudi money. And like, I'm trying to get any of them to say anything. And they're like, well, we really can't say anything. And I'm like, you got to be kidding. And now I realize, you know, they don't care. Like that's, you know, they don't care that they just take the money and this regime is possibly doing this. Doesn't seem, I can't get anyone to comment. Let's just say, I can't get anyone to comment.
And what would you have them do?
Comment. This is terrible. Comment. And if they did this, we have to think hard about the investments these people are making. Something, anything. Anything that's human. So anything human would be nice.
Something.
A pulse. Anyway, on that horrible note, we're going to take one more quick break and we'll be right back with some predictions.
This podcast is supported by Choiceology, an original podcast from Charles Schwab. Choiceology is a show all about the psychology and economics behind our decisions. Each episode shares the latest research on behavioral science and dives into questions like, can we learn to make smarter decisions? And what is the power of negative thinking? The show is hosted by Katie Milkman. She's an award-winning behavioral scientist, professor at the Wharton School, and author of the best-selling book, How to Change. In each episode, Katie talks to authors, athletes, Nobel laureates, and more about why we make irrational choices and how we can make better ones. Choiceology is out now. Listen and subscribe at schwab.com/podcast or find it wherever you listen.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on, and there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Welcome back to Pivot with Scott Galloway and myself, Kara Swisher. So predictions, Scott, you have to have some. We have to have some every week. You have to be right.
There you go.
And by you weren't right about the Facebook stock again, by the way.
Oh my God, I've been remarkably wrong.
Wrong.
I said that
all of tech stocks are getting hit.
Yeah, I said Amazon was going to pass Apple. I've just been hugely wrong.
All right.
So my predictions.
Try again.
Yeah, trying to get back in your good graces. I think that some of these sniper retail concepts are going to be acquired in the short term.
No, explain that. Explain that.
Well, there's a couple trends in retail. One is sort of this Ridlin retail, these pop-up museums, you know, the Froze Mansion, the Museum of Pizza, which really play on this trend in retail of scarcity. And it's not that these museums are great. It's that, one, they offer a giant Instagram moment, and two, you know they're going away in 90 days, so everybody should go. And I think that's largely indicative of sort of this Ridlin generation and where retail needs to head, fast fashion, creating a sense of retail. The other kind of trend in retail is sniper retail, where you find a category with a fat and happy incumbent, whether it's Bausch & Lomb or Labelux with Warby Parker, or the mattress industry, which was literally asleep, so to speak.
Yeah.
And you have Casper. And then the luggage industry, which basically had Samsonite and Tumi and maybe Rimowa and with Away. So my predictions is that Casper and or Away gets acquired in the next 3 to 6 months.
That's interesting. By whom?
So there's already been some reports that Walmart is sniffing around. Walmart has figured out that the way to kind of push back on big tech is to grab the mic back. And one of the best press releases that sort of says we get it is these acquisitions, whether it's Jet or Bonobos. And I said that I thought Jet was a ridiculous acquisition. Yeah, $3.5 billion. But the reality was it gave them the opportunity to say that their e-commerce was growing 40 to 60% year on year for four quarters in a row. So if they can pick these things up as maybe Amazon announced they were getting the mattresses, which means Casper's value got cut in half the next day. In the same fashion that any industry's value gets cut anywhere between 10 and 40% when Amazon just hints that they're going into it.
Right.
So I think Casper actually is probably a little more open to being acquired right now. I think that would be the smartest thing they could do.
And there's a couple of really there's Purple, there's Casper, there's a whole bunch of them in this industry. Oh,
Thread and Needle.
All of them. Yeah, and they're all very interesting, because I have to say it is a terrible experience mattress buying, and they did change it. The question is, can they operate on their own, or do they have to be part of a bigger organization? But you know, it's interesting, because I had dinner recently with the CEO of Walmart, and he's quite aware of his need to do this. He's quite aware of the importance and trying to figure out how they can compete, which is kind of odd to think about Walmart being on their back foot on anything, but they are, for sure. That is an excellent prediction. I like that prediction. I think that's a really good
one. Yeah,
you're
into
that? I like that one. I think you're right.
Well, it's like Eisenhower said, it's not plans are worthless, but planning is invaluable. I think predictions are worthless, but predicting is a lot of fun. So I have a question for you and a prediction.
Sure.
Which of the big tech companies a year on from now has, looking back, has gotten beaten up the worst?
Oh, Facebook.
Facebook.
Yeah.
Both in terms of usage, not only regulation, but in terms of the actual underlying performance of the company. You think this is starting to seep into the company?
I think so. I think they're really speaking on. Yeah, I do. I think a lot of people, they've shown blood, I guess. Do you know what I mean? Like they're still enormous and they're still growing like crazy, but there's something off. I think probably Facebook. Yeah. I would not say, you know, Google just has now finally been drawn into this, and it hadn't been before, but between China and this breach, you know, they had sort of skulked away from some of the responsibility here. And I think I think Apple's just fine. You know, it's just a question of creating great products or continuing to create great products there. They certainly got dinged in this hacking thing, but they fought back pretty hard, and so did Amazon, against this Bloomberg story about there being an errant chip in the boards that are having to do with their technology. So
was scary.
That was, but if true, you know, it's not. They've been pretty adamant that it's not true. So that's an interesting thing developed. We'll see where Apple goes from there on that issue.
So not a prediction, but a thesis, and I want you to respond to
it.
The lack of self-control, the id on steroids, a weak board that is Tesla. Stock gets cut in half from here, which I think makes it, I don't know, 20 or 30 billion market cap.
Yeah.
Apple steps in and buys it.
Yeah.
What do you think?
No.
Why?
So, I don't know. I just can't see those guys. I can see those guys getting in a room and going, I know them pretty well, and being like, no, just we can't.
What about Google? Get a jump on self-driving?
Yeah, maybe. But again, it's who's going to do it? Like, is it Sundar? Mm-hmm. They've got enough stuff going on that it's sort of like who, sure, sure, Apple and Google would be the purchasers. It's just like, would you take that on right now? It's a level of exhaustion of talk about execution. It's a lot. And the issue is, can we do it ourselves slower but better kind of stuff? So, maybe one of the big car makers might, that's a lot of money for them.
They can't afford it.
Yeah.
They can't afford
a lot of money.
Because they're valued like car companies.
I don't know. I would wonder what does it buy them besides a lot? It's sort of like buying, remember when everyone thought everyone was going to buy Twitter? I kept saying, no, it's too much. There's just too much hair on that dog kind of thing. And I think I think that's the issue is the level of, I just don't see it. I just don't see it. But, it's a good idea. It's a lot, and it's also a lot of money. Could they get it that way elsewhere without that and just make Tesla one of these pioneers that either didn't make it, like let it go? Like, what does it buy you?
It's not a lot of money for Apple. If the stock gets cut in half, it's a $20 billion, 50% premium. That's a 3% dilution.
I can't think of one person who could run that there. And I can't see him being comfortably within Apple.
And they're not that acquisitive.
They're not at all. They're very controlled about what they do. I can see Tim going, no. Like, I just see it. You know what I mean? No. Let's just focus over here kind of thing. And I think they pull back a little bit in their car stuff. And Google has, Google has let go a lot of really great people who work there. They've let people come and go. So I wonder where the commitment to cars it is. But it, you know what I mean? Like, who's the driver of the commitment? Larry's over making hovercrafts. Sergey, who knows where he is? You know what I mean? Like, Sundar has got his hands full. So, like, who's the person who's going to be that person? Diane Greene's busy with the cloud. Like, Susan's busy over at YouTube. I wonder who would be the executive. That's all. I think about the people, and I can't think of any of them that would be any good at it. But maybe. Who knows? There's just, I don't know. Someone's going to win here. It just is a question of who it is, and it's going to be a long time from now. Scott, I think we've covered a lot today. Do we miss anything? I think that's it. I think we've covered
What was it. Your least favorite thing or the thing you hated most about the Kavanaugh hearings?
Melania Trump and her appalling statement about hard evidence. I literally don't even know what to say.
We need to show the evidence. You cannot just say to somebody, I was, sexually assaulted or you did that to me, or because sometimes the media goes too far and the way they portray some stories, it's not correct. It's not right.
Just when they're completely appalling, she drops the most appalling thing. And, I think it seems like the Stockholm syndrome has really taken effect with her rather significantly.
And do you think Ivanka's going to be the new ambassador to the U.S.?
No, I do not. I think probably it's going to be Dina Powell. That's what I wonder, if she wants it. Yeah.
I mean, isn't Ivanka just her father if he drank water and had a better wig? By the way,
I'm not going to comment on that. She's not going to be the UN ambassador.
That is a line from my favorite comedian, Michelle Wolf, who is the next ex-Mrs. Galloway. She just doesn't know it yet. She is my hero. She's incredible. Do you know her? I think she wants to know me.
Okay.
I have that
All
sense.
Right. Okay. We'll find
I
out.
I saw her in a park. Don't try and segue.
I'm
going to
stop.
I was in Washington Square Park, and I saw her with my boys, and I screamed, "You're a genius!" And she literally ran from me.
Oh, really?
Literally
See, that's
ran.
A good. That is an excellent response.
So that
by
means
Michelle.
She has good judgment.
If
she has
I
good
see
judgment.
Her, I will tell
Funny
her to stay away from you. I'll give her a little picture to hold and say, "This guy's a stalker." It'll be good.
Wait. So my least favorite thing about the Kavanaugh hearings? Can I just tell you?
Yes. Go ahead. First That's off, what you wanted. You didn't really want to know what I
mean. No. I listen to respond, not to learn, Kara. Susan Collins and this whole notion of presumption of innocence.
Yeah.
Presumption of innocence is this really important construct used in courts of law for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
And it's used as a means to determine whether people get to join the 3 million people who are incarcerated.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a construct of a job interview.
Yep.
My kid's school is interviewing a headmaster.
Mm-hmm.
And the notion that we wouldn't pick somebody because they say, well, we have to assume anything bad about him is not true unless it's proven. Where did the presumption of innocence come in when we're trying to find out if someone should wear one of the 9 most important robes?
Well, they turned
the
it into a court of law, didn't they? That's what
that term should have never been injected into this whole process.
Well, that's because it's easy to understand by regular people, right? Like, oh, guilty. And
who you speak to.
I do all the time. Anyway, it was great talking to you. Stay safe
Thank
in the
you,
hurricane.
Kara.
Keep yourselves safe.
Thanks very much.
Our show is produced by Rebecca Sinanis. Nishat Kurwa is Vox Media's executive producer of audio. Thanks also to Eric Johnson. Thanks for listening to Pivot from Vox Media. Join us next week for more breakdown of all things tech and business. If you like what you heard, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening.